Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us to come together again. Lord, it's such a privilege to be able to be here and to be able to look into your word and to hear. Lord, would you teach us? We ask you for Christ's sake to bless this word to our heart and understanding and cause it to come to us in power. We have no ability to enliven our hearts, but Lord, you do. And we ask you now. You've told us that we don't have because we don't ask, and we're asking. Lord, speak to our hearts. Teach us tonight. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Acts chapter 16. I'd like to deal with verses 16, 17, and 18. But prior to this, we beheld the conversion, baptism of a woman named Lydia. She was a religious woman. She'd gone to church. She knew something about the scriptures. She knew she wanted to be where she was. She had a desire, but realizing that it was the grace of God that brought her to that place on that day to cross paths with the preacher of the gospel. I think about that. There's so few that I know, Mitch. So few preachers that preach the gospel of free grace, and that God would cause someone to cross paths, or cause that preacher to cross paths with somebody, that God would providentially cause that intersection. That's just a miracle of God's grace. But these missionaries are where they're supposed to be. They had planned. Paul had planned to go to Asia, and then the Spirit of God would not allow him to, and then he decided that he would go to Bithynia. The Spirit of God wouldn't allow him to, and sent a vision to Paul. There was a man of Macedonia and said, "Come over here and help us." And he did. And he met Lydia. And so, well, after that time, the Scripture says that it came to pass in verse 16, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, you recognize this. These preachers are where they are by the grace of God, by the providence of God, by the good pleasure of God, by the purpose of God. This is where the Lord has sent them. And they are going back after they had met at Lydia's house. It comes to pass, and there's going to be another time for them to meet together and pray. And more than likely, it doesn't say it, but more than likely, they're going back to the same place. That's where the Lord blessed before, and they're going where God had blessed. And that's a wise thing to do. Where the Lord has been pleased to raise up and bless His Word. That's where you want to be. That's where God's people are going to be, to the place by the river. A regenerated soul is not going to forsake the assembling of himself with other believers. He's going to be where God's people are. And this girl, it was a woman, a certain damsel, a slave girl. The scripture says she was actually possessed by a spirit of divination. In fact, it says of Python. That was actually a myth that there were people that had the ability by this snake. It was a mythological snake, and that's what they associated. She had a spirit within her. Actually, one that was a being, a true being, a spirit of divination that had no human form. She had a demon, is what it means. She had a devil in her. And it says that this woman met us. Well, the word there actually is a little bit stronger than what it just... It's not like she just happened to be there. She stalked them. She came there and made an effort. That's what that word met means. She made an effort to have an encounter with us in a hostile way. It has a real significance. She knew. She'd been watching them. They were going there. That's where they'd gone to pray before, and that's where their custom was. And she knew that that's where she was going to be. And so she met us, Paul said. And the scripture says, this woman brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, this woman was possessed with the power of darkness, and she had some owners. Obviously, some people had gotten together. It says her masters. So obviously there was more than one. They had probably got... This was a business deal to them. That's what it was. They were making money off of this woman. She was a tool for this group of religious charlatans. She brought her masters much gain. They set her forth as being a prophetess. She made these predictions. Obviously, she would utter when asked a question. She would be like a fortune teller. You go and ask them, you know, what does my palm say? What does the tea leaves say? That's what she was. She was a fortune teller. And she sought out Paul and these other disciples. And she met them, and she came and she caught them on the way to going to prayer. And it says that the same in verse 17 followed Paul and us. This is Luke, the apostle writing this. Luke was there. And cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, this woman, the scripture says, followed Paul and us, and here again now, the word followed there, it actually means one that joined herself to appear to be a disciple. That's what it means. She kind of got in with us, kind of joined up. She met us, you know, and had an encounter with us on purpose, stalked us, and then kind of joined up. Kind of followed us, going along. And while they were going along, she was just, you know, the scripture says, crying out, shrieking is what the word was. Just kind of screaming this out, something that was absolutely true. I mean, what this woman was saying was so. This woman was saying that these men attend to and are the servants of the Most High God. She was saying they are devoted to His honor. The message that these men preach is from God concerning salvation. They preach the only way of salvation, that is to be by Jesus Christ, and the gods that we serve, they are no gods at all. We possess a duty to listen to what these men have got to say and to hearken to what these men say for their master's sake and for our good. And if we don't, it is to our own peril. The Scripture says, they show unto us the way of salvation. What this woman was saying is, these men preach Christ. Well, for sure, what this woman said was so. They were the servants of the Most High God. They were His by divine election. Almighty God, before the foundation of the world, had taken Paul and these other men that God had called out, and He chose them in Christ, baptized them in Christ, before the foundation of the world, put them there and kept them there. They were His by choice. They were His by purchase of the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were His by their willingness to come in regenerating grace. And they truly did what this woman said they were doing. They preach unto us the way of salvation. This woman was saying, these men are preaching the gospel. Well, verse 18 says, in this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Paul exorcised that demon. Now, what he did was actually a confirmation to all that saw this scenario going on that these men really were men of God. You see, the Lord had said unto them, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel and these signs will follow you. Those that heard the Lord, Hebrews 2:4, I've read this to you, but God bearing them witness, I mean those that heard the Lord, that learned the gospel from the Lord Himself. Understand that when these men went out and started preaching, there was no completion of the New Testament. The message was being preached. Holy men of God were writing it down as the Spirit of God moved on them, but there was only the Old Testament. And there were many false Christs out there saying, I'm Christ, I'm Christ, I'm of the Lord, I'm of God. How did they know who God's servants really were? God confirmed them. God confirmed those that were His. God bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His will. Now this woman followed after Paul like they joined in. And what she was saying was absolutely so. There's not one thing in the world wrong with what we hear her say. But the Scripture says Paul was grieved. Not with her. Doesn't say he was grieved with her. But he was grieved toward the Spirit that was within her, because the Scripture says, Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he did. Now, I've heard, and you have too, I've heard men arrogantly make statements, and they act like they're possessors of these gifts now, and that they can order Satan and anybody else they want to around, and they just have some kind of spiritual ability. You know, I command you. I do this. You know, the Scripture bears what happened to someone that God hadn't given that gift. Turn over to Acts 19:13. Someone had seen some of the apostles actually doing some of these miracles by the Spirit of God. And it says in Acts 19:13, and certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus Christ, whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief among the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Who are you?" The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. Men take upon themselves things that they think that they have the power to do. In fact, these charlatans that you see today that's commanding evil spirits and doing this, that, and the other, they have no authority whatsoever. All of the authority that was given to produce these miracles and signs and wonders were by those that heard the Lord, and was confirmation for those men before the Scriptures were reading. We don't need any more confirmation. We've got the Word of God. This is the final authority right here. But, obviously, when Paul commanded that evil spirit, when he was grieved and he told this woman that had been saying exactly the right thing, obviously there was a reason for Paul doing what he did. Well, what do we learn from the refusal of Paul to accept the witness that was given by this woman? Was there anything wrong with what she said? Well, obviously, just outwardly, there wasn't. What this woman said, you read it again, and you read, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Isn't that what they were doing? Yes. But Paul commanded the evil spirit to come out of her. What did we learn? Well, number one, we know this, that Satan is a crafty foe. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." Satan works powerfully in false religion. And the Lord had spoken through, telling by His Spirit, revealing to Paul exactly what Paul was to do. He commanded and worked a miracle of God's grace. Paul had no ability within himself apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You always remember, without me you can do nothing. Paul was the instrument, but it was by the power of Almighty God. And Satan's devices include having men believe that we're all working for the same end. We're all working together. Now, I know you all down at Katy Baptist Church. Now, I know y'all believe in that sovereignty stuff. I know that you that election and stuff. And we don't hold exactly to what you're preaching. But, you know, we're all working together. You know? Salvation is like a big spoke, like a wheel. There's the hub. It's got many spokes coming out of it, but they all lead to the center. We're all sincere. No? We may all be sincere, but not all men are right. If left unchecked, those that heard this woman would have thought, well, you know what? She's a convert of Paul and these others. And, oh, she may preach different things at other times, but at least listen to what she's saying right now. You know, she must be a believer. This must be the way it is. Tares among the wheat for a while. Talk, possibly, like a sheep. Maybe for a while they seem to walk like a sheep, and maybe they seem to follow like a sheep. But the Scripture reveals that actually they're wolves, preachers of the gospel, preachers that are not of the gospel, are wolves in sheep's clothing. What do you do with them? Well, the Scripture says concerning the tares in Matthew 13:30, let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barns. You may have your doubts, but what does the Lord say? Leave them alone. You say, well, Paul didn't do that. Yes, he did. He didn't say anything to the woman. He spoke to the evil spirit. That was it. He was grieved with the spirit. Now, we are not told whether or not this woman was ever called out of darkness. We don't know. But I will say this. Paul would not be unequally yoked together with this woman. She had proven no consistency. She met him along the way. She had been completely inconsistent. And Paul recognized the devices of Satan to try to cause confusion. Here was a woman that had been spouting off all kinds of inconsistent stuff. And then all of a sudden, she meets up with Paul, stalked him, followed him, started just, and I mean all of a sudden, just like a parrot, just started saying what they're saying. These guys are the preachers of the Most High God. They show unto us the word of, it's the way of salvation. These, and Paul said, being grieved, he said, you come out of her. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Like I said, this woman had shown no consistency. Here she was, putting herself in the position of a preacher. Standing up, making declaration, and you see what I'm saying? It was totally inconsistent. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Now this was not a New Testament. Precept, concept. Turn over to Deuteronomy 22:9. Deuteronomy 22:9-11. Deuteronomy 22:9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Now, I'll tell you this. We don't operate on the understanding of carnal nature. Someone would say, well, you know what? Goodness, what she's saying, so it sounds good. I don't see any reason why Paul should have said anything to her, what she was preaching, but Almighty God spoke to Paul and told her, you command that evil spirit to come out. She's a sower of discord. The evil spirit that was within her. Things weren't right. Something wasn't right here. Here she was aligning herself. I'm telling you, when we separate ourselves biblically, now what I'm saying is this, I'm not going to allow, it doesn't matter how sincere somebody's going to be, someone that has not proven themselves, Neil, consistent to the gospel of free grace, they're not going to stand in this pulpit. As long as I'm here, I know Brother Scott's here. They're not going to do it. No man's going to stand in this pulpit that has shown inconsistency. Be not unequally yoked. Paul and these other preachers had been called of God to preach the gospel. And this woman, put in there by the devices of Satan, was going to sow discord. There was going to be some confusion. Here was a woman standing up preaching that Almighty God revealed to Paul she shouldn't be here. Paul was grieved and spoke to that evil spirit. When we separate ourselves scripturally on biblical truth, this is not arrogance. Someone said, do you believe that you're the only ones? Paul the Apostle said, if an angel from heaven, if another preacher, if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which has been preached unto you, let him be anathema. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Scripture dictates that we are to be separate. We don't align ourselves. I had someone a few years ago, I told some of you about this, a few years ago, had someone come to me. I was in Franklin, and what they knew I was a preacher. And they said, look, we're going to all meet together on the square around the monument there and on the Thursday morning. And we're just all going to get together and hold hands and pray for the salvation of Franklin. And can we count on you to be there? I said, no. You can't be there? No, can't be there. Why? Because if I met there with those that I know are inconsistent and preach an inconsistent gospel, people will look at me and say, he believes just what they believe, or they believe what he believes. It's discord. It's confusing. It's not scriptural. This woman was not called of God to stand there and proclaim the gospel. And Paul would have nothing to do with it. He didn't need, nor did he desire, the appearance of this lying spirit to give evidence of his credentials. Romans 1:9 says, for God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. I don't need this woman's approval. And Paul wouldn't have it. The kiss of an enemy, the Scripture says, is deceitful. Proverbs 27:6. If the Lord has not created a new heart, I'm telling you what will happen next. This woman that stood up and made those mimicking declarations of what was true. I'm not saying what she said wasn't true. But if God hadn't given a new heart, in the next breath, she'll be blaspheming the very God that she proclaims at this moment to be worshiping. The kiss. That's how our Lord was betrayed. I'm your friend. I like you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Matthew 15:7-8 says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't. You can't worship. There is no worship for a believer where the gospel's not preached. It's just there's no worship. You say, well, I can glean. I can take the bad out, and I have to just, you know, I kind of work a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. Just don't do it. Don't do it. But also we learn that Satan is bound as to his ability to prevent Almighty God from doing that which Almighty God is pleased. Like I said a while ago, whether or not this woman was ever converted, I don't know. The Scripture is silent concerning. But for sure, I can tell you this. In type, in a picture, she's a type of deliverance from the clutches of Satan. Here, Paul, a preacher of the gospel, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke, and that woman was delivered. You know, the Scripture says, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Whenever Paul spoke, there was a picture of salvation. Here was a woman bound in the clutches of this spirit of divination. She was bound up. He had her, there's no doubt about it. And coming from Adam, born in Adam, we're all dead in trespasses and sin. Just bound to it. Can't get away from it. You know, men say that you can just escape yourself. No, you can't. You cannot. I was watching a war movie the other day. It's a concentration camp. And I'm telling you, it was a pretty well fortified concentration camp. And there was some American, British, some Allied troops, and they were held in that place. And I don't doubt for one second if they could have gotten out, they would have. But they couldn't. Why? Because the guys that had the guns wouldn't let them. They were bound. They were captive. And you know how they got out? Some commandos came in there. Somebody that was strong and bound the strong men and captivated their captives. That's how Almighty God saves a sinner. He leads captivity captive. He binds a strong man and takes his goods. That's what happened to this woman. But thirdly, we understand this, that surely the wrath of man is going to praise him, going to praise thee. That's what Psalm 76:10. This woman spoke truly. The scripture tells us that this woman had a spirit of divination. And whenever she spoke in the authority of that spirit. Though what she said sounded right, Paul, by a revelation of the Spirit of God, knew that this woman right here was being an instrument of trouble. And Paul didn't tolerate it. He called out that spirit, and that spirit came out of her. But this woman spoke until that devil came out of her under the dictates of that devil. And the voice of that spirit had actually nothing but rage and indignation and anger, not only for the apostles, but for God Himself. Now, you know that. It was a spirit of Antichrist, a spirit of the devil. But what she said, though Paul rejected having anything to do with that woman, anything to do with the source of her words, though what she said was still true. Well, the truth is often found to be in Scripture magnified by the confession of an adversary of God. And in that, they are actually witnessing against themselves. Turn to John 11. Let me show you how somebody said exactly the right thing. And Scripture says he didn't say of it himself. John 11, verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should perish not. And this spake he not of himself," or not from himself, "but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that are scattered abroad." Now see, here was Caiaphas, an unbeliever. An unbelieving high priest. And he stood up, and what he had in his mind was this. When these guys says, "Listen, everybody's going to follow after him," he said, "Ah, just wait a minute. You don't realize. He said, let's just let him, let's go ahead and have him crucified. Let's let one man die. It'll satisfy everybody, and then we'll just get on with our jobs. That's what he thought in his mind. But actually, the Scripture says what he was prophesying was so. One did die, so that all the people of God would not. There we see, when one man confessed something that was actually so, but it'll rise up in judgment. This woman, this damsel, and what she said, though the source of it was wrong, in the day of judgment, for all those that were in Philippi who slighted and rejected the Christ that was preached by these apostles, just like the dust, when the Lord says you go and you preach, and if somebody won't hear you, you kick off the dust off your shoes, and that dust will be a judgment against them in the day of judgment. The Scripture says, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when you depart, judgment. Now here was a woman. What she said was out of a spirit of divination. What she did was not from within herself, but it was within herself, but it was from the devil, is what I'm saying. This devil had controlled her. Satan had purposed to make Paul and the other disciples to have trouble, going to cause trouble for them. Got that woman in there and started mimicking what they were saying and proclaiming some things that were absolutely so. Paul would not have himself yoked to her. You're not of us. God didn't send you. You're not in this clan. God didn't call you to preach. And Paul called the devil out of her. Came out of her. What Satan purposed actually backfired. God's preachers were confirmed that they were the preachers of God. What that woman said, it was the truth. It'll rise up in judgment. What she said was so. But I'm telling you, the Scripture says that all things work together for good. You mean even this damsel right here, possessed with a spirit of divination, that was trying by Satan's power and manipulation to cause trouble for Paul and these other disciples? You mean even that? All things. The wrath of man shall praise thee. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Almighty God is in complete control. Things may appear for a while to be out of control as far as we're concerned, but you can rest assured of this. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. All right, Gary, you come lead us in a closing hymn.